We're holding Erev Rosh Hashanah the night before. And with all the achonas, all the preparations that a person does, as busy as it is, we have to do the real preparation. Okay, so I mentioned Thursday night the moshul about the horse. I never had a chance to say it over. I said it over in the past, so we'll start with the moshul with the horse, and we'll branch off from there. Shalom Shadron says over this famous moshul with the horse. There was once a seicher, a merchant, and he had a lot of schayr, he had a lot of merchandise. And in those days, it was very difficult to sell the schayr and follow all the laws, the way the laws were set up against the Jews and so on. So there's a lot of smugglers. He used to smuggle goods over the border. So this seicher goes ahead, and he has his whole load of merchandise, and he needs someone to help him smuggle the goods over the border to be able to sell it on the other side. And he asks around, and he finds out the name of a certain smuggler. They meet, and they make the arrangements. The first part is they can only go on a night when the moon is not out. When it's pitch black outside, the moon is not visible, there shouldn't be any light, and they have to sneak across the border. He tells the seicher, prepare your merchandise, get everything ready, and in a month from now, I'll meet you in this time, we'll load up the wagon, and we'll make a run for it across the border. And of course, if you get caught, you know that's no telling what could happen. The seicher makes all the arrangements, gives a deposit, and he goes home. The seicher comes home that night, and he can't sleep. He's tossing and turning. Oh, what's going to be? How do I know if we'll be able to smuggle the goods across the border? And he can't sleep. The next night, he can't sleep. The whole month, every night, he's tossing and turning. He can't sleep. He's all worried. The smuggler has no problem sleeping. He's done it before. He's not that worried. He sleeps fine. A week before the appointment, the smuggler lies down. He has trouble falling asleep. It's a week away. Maybe it's not going to work out this time. How do I know we'll make it across the border? What's going to happen? They'll catch me. They'll find out about the other times I did it. And he can't fall asleep. And a whole week before their appointment, their date, he's tossing and turning every night. The seicher has a nar, a mesharis, who works for him. The nar doesn't know too much. The nar doesn't really care. It's not his merchandise, not his chayra. He has no problem sleeping. He's not too worried. The night before they're supposed to go, he hears the seicher making the arrangements, talking. He sees the seicher's nervous. The nar himself gets nervous the night before. And the night before, even the nar, even the mashares, can't sleep. Finally comes the night of their appointment. The smuggler meets the seicher and the nar, and they go up the wagon and they start traveling through the darkness of the night. The horses are pulling the wagon and they're traveling as quiet as possible. And they're coming towards the border, and the smuggler tells the seicher, be quiet, don't make a sound, because this is it. We're right by the border, we have to sneak across without anybody hearing us. And they come to the border, and they start moving, and they go, and suddenly they hear, halt, stop! And they're caught by the border. As soon as they hear, halt, stop! The seicher faints on the spot. He passes out on the spot. The smuggler turns white as a ghost. And even the nar sitting in the wagon starts to shake. He's nervous. The only one that's not nervous is the horse. The horse has a rest. The horse was busy pulling the wagon for the past few hours. The horse leans over and starts eating the grass. Says of Shalom Shadron, no. A month before Rosh Hashanah, we have a month to prepare ourselves for Yom Adin. Somebody with a little bit of seichel understands the seriousness of Rosh Hashanah. For a month, he's a very tossing attorney. He can't sleep for the whole month. He's worried what's going to be, and he finds ways to improve himself to change. No, then there are other people. A month? For me, I don't have to worry so much. A week's enough. We start saying Slichas a few days before Rosh Hashanah, sometimes a week before, a few days before. When we start saying Slichas, some people wake up. I better start thinking about Rosh Hashanah. It's Slichas time. And then you have those people, even Slichas doesn't bother them. But Erev Rosh Hashanah, Chodesh, the day before, at least they realize that tomorrow's the Yom Adin, the night before, the day before Rosh Hashanah, they're worried. And then you have the horses. People that come to shul, and they didn't even worry about Rosh Hashanah at all. They're in shul, and they came just to enjoy the scenery, enjoy the crowd, enjoy the grass like the horse. So Reb Sholem, where do we want to be? Do we want to be like the horse? Who do we want to be like? A person... A person has to think in advance. A little preparation in advance goes a long way. The Chassam Sofer brings down, there's machlokes in the Sechta Rosh Hashanah. When we plant, how many days it takes for the roots to be koilet, for the plant to be koilet in the ground, to take root in the ground. Machlokes is shloshim yoim, 30 days. One of them says shloshim yoim in 3 days. Says Chassam Sofer. When it comes to doing tshuva, if you want the tshuva to take root to be koilet, you need 30 days. Just like for a plant to take root and to grab hold in the ground and start to grow, it needs 30 days. Person wants to grow and change, you need 30 days. At least 3 days. If you can't do 30 days, or you didn't do 3 days, at least 3 days before Rosh Hashanah, wake up. The Chesed of Avram is on, and if you didn't do 3 days, the Gemara tells us at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, that when we count the years of the king, we had a whole sugya in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, counting the years of the king, the Gemara tells us, Yom Echad B'Shanah Choshev Shanah. When it comes to counting the years of the king, Rabbi Melech, one day in the year is like a whole year. So Chosh, if a person didn't wake up 3 days before, Yom Echad B'Shanah Choshev Shanah, at least one day. The Chiddush Yerim said, Neskatnu Adairis, people became very shvach, people aren't on that level. He said, even a few minutes before Shkia, a few minutes before the day ends, before Erev Rosh Hashanah ends, there's a few minutes left to the day. A person could do tshuva the last few minutes.
Okay.
Chaper, no. It's not ideal. But chaperai, in the last few minutes of the day, a person could do tshuva, could change. And a person ends off the year on a note of tshuva, reflects back on the whole year. So even though tomorrow's a busy day, with slichus in the morning and running and preparing and whatever person has to take care of, find a minute, 1 minute during the day, think a little bit. And if a person can think even a little bit before Shkia, you could save the whole year at the end of the year. Baruch Aleinu, we say by Mincha tomorrow. We say Baruch Aleinu Hashanah Azoyish by Mincha, right before Shkia. Daven Mincha later in the day, Baruch Aleinu Hashanah, there's minutes left to the day. And we spell Baruch Aleinu Hashanah Azoyish. Yeah. Hashem could still send a bracha, change the year. The year could change around. The year could change around in the last minute. I remember when I was younger, I remember hearing a Rebbe say that you could tell how much Yirah Shemayim a person has by how much kavana he has when he says Baruch Leinu Hashanah Azoy, it's an Erev Rosh Hashanah. He's davening minutes before Shkia, and he says Baruch Leinu Hashanah Azoy, it's a great kavana. It shows how much Yirah Shemayim he has. Highlight of Rosh Hashanah is Tekiyah Shofar. Tekiyah Shofar is one of the highlights of Rosh Hashanah. The Rambam means that in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Gimel, Halacha Daled, Afal Pi She Tekiyah Shofar Gzeiras Hakosov, even though Tekiyah Shofar is Gzeiras Hakosov, Remez Yesh Boi. There's a hint behind Tekiyah Shofar. What's the hint? Uru Yishenim Mishinaschem. Those that are sleeping, wake up from your sleep, and so on, and change your ways, B'chozu B'tshuva, and do Tshuva. The Shofar, besides the Gzeiras HaKosov, a blowing Shofar, is a message to us to wake us up. The alarm clock is going off. Wake up. Do tshuva. The Shirah Kodesh brings down Masechta Rosh Hashanah Ois Gimel in the Shnei Luchos HaBris. He brings down Moshem Nekadmoinim that just like the guf, a body, a person could be healthy. A person could chas v'shalom be sick. A person could die. There's Misa. And there's medicine. There's refuah. There's ways of healing a person. The same is true for a person's neshama. The neshama, a person can have a healthy neshama, a person can have a sick neshama, can have a dead neshama, and the refuah is for the neshama also. A person who follows Torah and mitzvahs a whole year round, he has a healthy neshama. A person who's, so-so, sometimes good, sometimes not so good, neshama is a little bit sick. A person who doesn't follow the Torah at all, the neshama is almost like a mace, dead. But his refuah is for all, his refuah. Refuah is tshuva. A person can always return. A person could come back. Just like for the body, a person has refuah. For the neshama, the refuah is also. The shura brings down, we blow tkiyos, we blow tashat, tarat, tashrat, we blow tkiyos, shvarim, trua tkiyos. Rebbe Vol was mesakein to blow tkiyos, shvarim, trua tkiyos, we blow those series of kiyos. Says the shura. A tkiyos is a straight coil. Straight, flat coil. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu created a person, Hashem creates a person straight. A person is given a Torah Neshama, a person comes down to this world, a person is Yosha, straight. What happens? A person doesn't behave properly. A person, the Neshama becomes a little bit sick, like a Shvarim. Shvarim, what's the Lashon Shvarim? The Gemara uses the Lashon Genuchi Gonach, a person who's groaning, sighing, like a krechts. shrugs like a person who's a chayla, a bitzar, he gives a little bit of a groan. Ah, he cracks. So the shvarim represents the nefesh, neshama, that's not well, that's sick. Person gives out a krechs. The trua, the Gemara says, is yilolas, crying, b'chia. By a mace, a person cries. The trua represents the crying for the, so to speak, the dead neshama. For the neshama that we did terrible, we did aveiris, the neshama is like a mace. Just like one cries over a mace that died, one cries over the neshama, that's like a mace. That represents the trua. After all the crying, after all the sighing, there's another truth, the key at the end. The tekiah represents, after tshuva, a person becomes straight again. After a person lets out that cry, lets out the sigh, lets out the crying, and a person does tshuva, we blow another tekiah. Afterwards, the tekiah represents the fact that a person, after tshuva, becomes straight, and a person can fix up what he did. Ashrei ha'om yoydei surua. We say, after tekiah shayfer, Ashrei ha'om, Pasuk of Tehillim Pei Tes praises the nation Bnei Yisrael that know Trua and know how to blow Trua Shayfer. And the Medrash, everyone knows, the Medrash says, V'umbois ha'ilam einam yaidim. And the Goyim don't know how to blow the Shayfer. Anybody can pick up a Shayfer and blow. The Goyim don't know how to blow a Shayfer. Ella says the Medrash, Ashrei ha'om, she'yaidin lefatah, says, Bayram b'Trua. They know how to appease Hashem, the Creator, with the Trua. How does one appease Hashem with the Trua? One blows with a broken heart. The lay of Nishba, broken heart. The Trua is a broken sound. One blows with a broken heart. A person feels humble. A person feels regret, remorse for what he did. A person has a broken heart. But a person feels that lay of Nishba, that's how one appeases Hashem. A lay of Nishba, Hashem doesn't turn away. The Sar Shalom, the bells of Rebbe, his son once heard two Yidden talking in Rosh Hashanah. And one Yid said to the other, "Oi, today's Rosh Hashanah. How can I stand in front of Hashem who knows all of my thoughts and knows all my deeds, what I did a whole year and all my thoughts? How could I stand before Hashem? Oi." And the second Yid said, "Oi, you're right. How can we stand before Hashem?" And he gave a krechs. When the Belzer Rebbe's son told this over to his father, the Belzer Rebbe said, there was a kitrig in Shemayim. Whenever the defender came and the Kateger said, sorry, the Sanegar, the defender said that Klal Yisrael was great. They gave tzedakah. You know what the Sultan said? The Goyim give tzedakah also. They have their charity also. The Sanegar said, Klal Yisrael does favors to chesed. And you know what the Sultan said? They have their also, their charity and their chesed and the goodness that they do. And whatever mitzvah the Sultan said, the Sanegah said, the Sultan answered back. The elder said, well, when those two Yidden gave a krechs, and they said, oi, he said, you know what happened in Shemayim? The Sanegah said, oi, look at Am Yisrael, look at your nation Yisrael, they have a broken heart. They have a lev nishba, they have a broken heart. For that, the Sultan had no answer. He couldn't find the goyim have a lev nishba, and the goyim have a broken heart. A person comes with a broken heart before Hashem, lev nishba, when Nimzah, Hashem doesn't turn away, Hashem doesn't detest, a lev nishba, a broken heart, could break through all the barriers. The trua, shvarim represent the broken heart that a person has. The lev nishba, a person feels that humility, a person feels broken in a sense before Hashem, faket. That causes him to rejuvenate, and again, after the trua comes the tekiah, the straight coil. The famous story, I'll just end off with a story. There's a famous story. In Paris, France, there was a very wealthy Jew, and he lived in one of the high-rise penthouses. He lived on the top floor. Very expensive. And there was one other neighbor with two apartments on the top floor. He hardly knew who the other neighbor was, never saw each other. Everyone was very private, and everyone lived a life of luxury. No. The kids, one day he meets the neighbor in the hallway. They introduce themselves to each other, start speaking. The neighbor's a guy, an Arab, something. He tells this Jew, he says to him that he's married, his wife is the former queen of Morocco. Is the former queen of Morocco. And her son, or this man's stepson, is the king of Morocco. Is the king of Morocco? Oh, yeah, the Jew hears this, okay. He didn't know what a neighbor he has. His neighbor is the former queen of Morocco with her new husband, and the son is the king of Morocco. Okay, start speaking to him. And he says to the Nebi, you know, I never met a king before in my life. Does the king ever come to visit you? Does the king ever come for a visit? And he says, yeah, he comes once in a while to visit his mother. He comes sometimes. So the Yid says, is it possible that I can meet the king? I never met a king before in my life. I want to meet the king. Do you think you could arrange it? I'm your neighbor. You know who I am. There's no security issues. You know me. Do you think I can meet the king? So Tayyip says, the security is very tight when the king comes. And we keep it hush-hush. Keep it very top secret. Right. The rest of the building, no one even knows the king is here. But I'll see what I can do for you. You know, you're a good neighbor. We never had any problems. I'll see what I can do for you. Okay. The Yid goes home. And the Yid, this Jew, had a son who just turned bar mitzvah, 13-year-old boy. It's around bar mitzvah time, and he gets a call one day. The neighbor calls him, and he says, my stepfather, the king, is here right now. If you want to come, it's okay. The king said he's open to meeting you. If you want to come, you can come right now. He says, okay, I'm coming over. His 13-year-old son, bar mitzvah boy, is there also. He says, come, I'm going to meet the king. Let's go along. They go out. They come to the apartment. The security guards, up top to bottom, check them, fine, everything is fine, they let them in, they come into the king. And the king was very, very open, starts talking to them, and he says to the son, how old are you? The boy says, 13. So the king says, 13, isn't 13 a special number in the Jewish law? A special ceremony happens when you're 13. What's it called? So the boy very nicely tells him it's called a bar mitzvah, and the king asks him, what happens when a boy turns bar mitzvah? He tells him, now he's obligated to fulfill all the commandments. We celebrate with a party. I give a speech. And he speaks very nicely to the king. For a few minutes, the father speaks to him. And after a few minutes, the meeting is over. Say their goodbyes, and they leave. And he's very happy and a chance to meet the king. The next day, the phone rings again. The king's son, the stepfather is on the line. And he says to his neighbor, the king wants to see you and your son again. But make sure to bring your son. He wants to meet you and your son again. No questions asked. The king says, we come. They knock on the door. They let them in. Again, security. Comes to meet the king. The king says to the boy, I heard that it's customary to give a present when a boy turns 13. In Jewish custom, to give a present. I want to give you a present. And the king reaches to the table, pulls out an envelope with a royal seal on it, the king of Morocco, and he hands the envelope to the boy and he says, here's your present for turning 13. Here's your bar mitzvah present. Okay, the father and the boy are very taken aback. The king says to the boy, open it now. Open it. Open up the envelope. He looks at his father. Should he open it? The king says, open it. Okay. The boy opens the envelope, and there's a card inside, and there's a check inside. The king tells the boy, look at the check. The boy looks at the check, and his face turns white. He shows the check to his father, $50,000. $50,000. Check $50,000. $50,000. $50,000. The father looks at it, almost passes out. The son doesn't know what to do. And the father, he musters up all his courage and he says to the king, your majesty, it's very nice, but it's not that necessary. It's a little bit overdone. We don't give so much for a mitzvah boy. He's only 13 years old. Might be a little bit irresponsible for him. He doesn't know what to do with the money. Thank you very much. But maybe reconsider and, something a little more appropriate. And the king says, I know you're right. He says, I know it's inappropriate and I know it's way overdone for a mitzvah boy. But he says, what can I do? I can't give any less. For a king to give a present for anything less, it's an insult to my kingdom, it's an insult to my country. I can't give anything less than this. And that's the minimum amount that I can give. It's an insult for the king to give anything less than this amount of money. I haven't heard the story before. I haven't seen it again tonight. That was the story.
With the post-dated check.
That was the story. This Yid from Paris.
It's a true story.
He went to Eretz Yisrael. And he told Reb Chaim Kanievsky over the story. Ooh. He told the story over to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. What happened? Reb Chaim Kanievsky said, perhaps that's the pshat in Avinu Malkeinu. We say in Avinu Malkeinu, Asay l'mancha, v'loy l'manu. Hashem, do it for your sake, and not for our sake. What's the tefillah? Do it for you, and not for us. Okay. Hashem, do it for us. We also need it. Do it for you. Perhaps the Psharis was saying to Hashem, we need Rachmanis. Please, be Rachman, be be about chesed, do good for us. But Amancha, you're a king. Give us rachamim like a king gives rachamim. Give us chesed like a king gives chesed. We don't even know how much we need. We don't know what we need. But asay l'mancha, Hashem, we're asking you for rachamim. We're asking for rachmonis. Do it for your sake. Give rachamim the way a king gives rachamim. It's pasnish for a king to give so little. A king can't give less. Give rachamim on a royal level, on a kingly level. Give us chesed, parnoso, all our needs, all our needs for the year. Taka, Kadosh Baruch Hu, should answer about kashus, say ruchnis, say gashmis, shavak sivich sima toivo, a good kibenshdo, Rav Yeshuas, nachomus, shuzaicha, tovshin ein hei, peishnas eis hagaula, any abbreviation, okay. Peshnas Am Hashem, Shbi Zeicher, the world should see with Am Hashem, Shbi the Shnas HaGula, Shtaka Bi Zeicher, to the ultimate good, to the Gula, Shreim HaMeher V'Yemenu, Amen.